everybody. My name's Paul Bullivant, and I'm your host for today. I'd like to welcome you to the Haworth Timber and Building Supplies 1840 podcast. Over the course of the next few months, what we'd like to do is share some of the stories from our 184 years as a builders merchant, as well as talking to some of our suppliers and our customers, and talk about some of the key issues of the day that are impacting the builders merchants industry. Now, with this being our first episode, we thought the best place to start would be to add some context as to why we're sat here doing a podcast. So we're going to talk about our journey from initial concept and initial idea of doing a podcast to actually being sat here in front of microphones and cameras and lights recording, and also covering the big question of why on earth would a builders merchants want to do a podcast? It's really not what we normally do, but here we are trying something different, and we want to talk you all through that. So to help me do that today, I'd like to welcome our first two guests to our podcast on our first ever episode, and I'm delighted to have with me Gavin Knowles and Steve Hudson, who run our marketing team. And just to settle your two's nerves, shall we start with a nice, easy, simple question? We'd like to introduce yourselves to our audience, which I hope are out there listening to us. So if you'd like to introduce yourselves, a little bit about yourselves, your careers, and what you do for Haworth Timber.
Gavin, do you want to start?
Gavin, I'm the head of marketing and digital for Haworth Timber Building Supplies. I've been here for the best part of 7 years. I look after all things kind of marketing, digital marketing like SEO and paid media, as well as the e-commerce kind of roadmap and developing the app out, as well as the customer service team and helping out the branches on that side of things.
Okay. And before you joined Haworth, what did you do?
So previously I worked, to be fair, I've probably had a good 15, 16 years in merchanting industry. Okay. Started out when I was 21 for a company called Builder Superstar, which is pretty much what I do now, but a very small scale and starting out. And I also worked at XL Joiner, which is a supplier into the industry. So I've kind of been at both sides of the table, which is quite interesting. Oh,
nice. Any experience in any other industries?
Yeah, I worked in a training consultancy firm for a number of years, which was quite a different world altogether. But it's nice to be in a product world where you're selling products rather than just making up a kind of training consultancy, really.
And when you moved into Building Superstar, was it the job or was it the building industry that appealed to you?
It was mainly the job, but it's just one of those things. I think everybody who kind of lands in the industry just ends up sticking with it and you end up being there for life.
Really. Or you're out quick.
Yeah.
No, that's good. So you've done, what, 17 years, you reckon?
Probably 15, 16, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Steve, over to you.
Yeah, so I'm Steve. I've been working with Haworth for 8 years now. So I'm design and brand manager. Yeah. My background's a little bit different to Gavin. I started out graphic design, that's what I went to uni doing. After uni, got a few jobs in little studios and things like that, and then got a job in an internal marketing department, and that's where the sort of getting embedded in a marketing team has started. So I was there 10 years. I moved on, which was a totally different industry, sort of manufacturing. It's a group of companies, one of them was a travel company as well. It was just a bizarre little setup, but yeah, it was an international company, and it was great experience, and that's where I sort of learned all about marketing. It was sort of teaming up the design and the marketing side was great. I then went to work on a sort of rebrand of a global insurance industry company, which was again totally different. So, and then entered the world of builders merchants, which was totally different again. I mean, try explaining tally tickets to someone not in. It's a totally different.
How did the move come about then to come to Haworth?
I just moved whoever would take me, really. But yeah, it just I took on the role at Gallagher's, the insurance company. It was a fixed term contract to deliver this rebrand, okay. And then the Haworth opportunity came along, which was different, yeah. And quite close to home. It was used to pass it every day on the way to college when I was there. No, I had no idea how big a company it was. So yeah, it's interesting.
So again, you moved for the job rather than moving to come into the building industry.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. The fact that it was building industry, which is that's the beauty of marketing, really, is that you sort of can transcend any industry and kind of the principles are still the same. But
are there any massive differences then in marketing in the other industries that you've worked in compared to the building industry, or is marketing?
I mean, well, with the insurance company, I mean, legislation on that was crazy. Like, you know, everything had to go through people to get approved and stuff, you know, sort of financial services and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there's, I quite like the freedom of coming into an industry where it's like, yeah, you know, it was very rough and ready, and it was different, and it was different. Good journey.
Okay.
I think there is a difference between the service industry and rather than products, and it does have a little bit of difference when you have to market stuff, but ultimately it's pretty much the same thing.
So the same principles of marketing that you'd apply in insurance or in training are the same as in a builder's merchant.
It's the 7 P's at the end of the day.
Oh, good. Let's have a quick marketing lesson, the 7 P's.
I don't think I could actually.
Tick that one off, you've got it.
How many P's do you remember?
If I had to guess, I'd probably say 6.
Come on then, let's do them.
Price, product, promotion, place, people, process, physical evidence.
Very good.
Didn't that prepare for that one, did you?
I did not. No.
That last one maybe needs fact checking. All right, that's good. Okay, so let's get started. So there's two things I want us to talk about, and that will kind of set the scenes and the foundation of what we're going to do with the rest of this podcast. So I want to tell the story of how we've got here. So where we, how our original ideas came up, and the journey that we've gone on to get actually sat in here today. And then try and talk about the question of why would we commit our time and effort into doing a podcast? So they're the two main questions for today for us. But before we do, what I would like to know from both of you is, as you're sat here now this minute, under these lights looking at me, how do you feel? And I ask that because however long we do this for, I'll always remember the first day we moved this from a random idea into kind of reality. And the three of us were sat in the conference room in Wakefield. And I said to you, right, I've got the idea for the first episode, and it's going to be me with you two. And I've never seen so many averted gazes and heard so much silence in my life. And it took quite a bit of pushing for me to get you into here, because all you would both say is, oh, I can't talk. I can't string two words together. I just can't do it. But, here you are. So what I would like to understand from both of you is, right now, this minute, in this very moment, how do you feel? Stephen?
Nervous is the one word to summarise it. I mean, it's not something we've ever done before. That's half the beauty of it. I mean, lights everywhere, like, we Budgie once stretched to a makeup team, so the shine on the head, you know. But the idea of getting us on film now was a horrible one, and, you know, I think we'll all be glad when this moment's over. But yeah, it's good fun, isn't it? I
guess. So it's nervous, but excited.
Yeah, you got to try things, haven't you? So yeah.
I think I would probably share the same, what Steve said. Nervous and ultimately quite excited about something. And we're more men behind the curtain sort of thing. You don't kind of wheel us out for glamour projects. And there's always that kind of back of your head of what does the business care about marketing side of things? But it's kind of what you said earlier. It's all about telling stories and sharing your bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a really good point about marketing, about telling stories. And, you know, that just dates back to the days of the caveman sat around the campfire, doesn't it? That's how stories were shared. I'm delighted that you're both here, because you both say, oh, I'm not good at talking, and I'm, you know, with the guys in the background. But, I think you're really good talkers, and you've got good stuff to say, and you speak very well. So I'm, on a personal level, I just want to thank you two for coming on this, and for helping me in this vanity project.
Yeah.
To do this. I suppose, having asked you how you feel, it's probably only fair that I share the same. And you know what? I feel exactly the same, nervous and excited. And I think that's good, because you two, when we first started talking, were like, really? Oh, no, we can't. Yeah. And just because I do maybe a bit more public speaking than you do, that just goes along with the job, it doesn't mean that I don't feel exactly the same. And it's only from standing up and talking in front of people that you kind of get used to controlling those nerves that are within you, and know that you can get round them. So thank you both are coming.
I think the thing is, it's trying to just get your head around, like, we sort of trying to figure out what you're going to say, but it's just a chat, isn't it, really? It's just the fact that we're in, you know, it's a little bit different, and you know you're getting filmed, but no, it is just telling stories, like you say.
That's cool. Right, so let's move on to those two key questions. I want to talk about our journey from that fateful morning in Wakefield, sat around that table, to actually being sat here, and then go on to why would a builder's merchant want to do a podcast? You know, all the things that we could do to market ourselves, where does a podcast fit into all of that? So do you want to start talking about that, explaining that journey that we went on, and the ups and downs and dead ends and whatever?
Well, I think it all kind of stemmed from internal communication. We've been doing a lot of things about how we can improve, you know, just general communication to the branches and everybody else. And we were sometimes a little bit guilty of using kind of old-fashioned stuff like newsletters and in print and emails and stuff to kind of get this message out. One of the things that I always think is an absolute shame is that we do these branch managers conferences every year, and we have these fantastic stories, and we don't get in people trying to sell you to teach you how to suck eggs, or, you know, how to sell, or, you know, big inspirational people. We ask our branch managers to tell the story of, you know, how they can share best practice or something. And one of them that always sticks in my head is Rob Bailey.
Okay.
And Rob, he was a branch manager, he's now a regional manager. And at the time, he was talking about his experience of being a new branch manager to Haworth. And he had these great slides on it. And one of them was about, you know, him trying to be a superman and trying to help out everybody around the branch. And he just ended up doing everyone's head in. And he tried a few different things and eventually found out that he was this farmer, and he was trying to grow, and, you know, this gardener, to try and grow his team to being the best people. And it worked, and he found himself. And it's one of those, like, nice little stories. And I think that's kind of the theme today is stories. Yeah. That actually, in that room of branch managers, it resonates a lot, but it resonates more with yards people, with, you know, ABMs, with sales execs. And it's their journey to become a branch manager. And it's all a kind of a guilty thing of not having that information out to people in the business. And I think if I asked you both now what your favourite kind of story from conference, you'd each have one.
Yeah.
So
is that a question? Are you asking?
It can be a question. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine to catch you two on. Yeah. Mine would be when Kevin Parr interviewed Nick Howarth and got Nick talking about himself, nothing work related, and Nick dropped into the conversation that his favourite hobby is underwater polo, a sport that we just never knew. Yeah. You know, existed. So it was a really good way of learning through a story, learning things that we just didn't know before. And that, again, that's always resonated with me. Have you gone?
I think it's similar learning about the people, because I don't have a particular story. That was really interesting. I'd never even knew that spot existed. But sort of, we did it at Harrogate as well. Got a few of the managers up, and, you know, like Owen is in a band and things like that. And they're the things that, because everything's work, that when you get to hear the stories behind people, and you've got something else to talk to them about, it just puts that those conferences are worthwhile, because you're getting together and learning about the people you work with. So no one story, but that's what.
So I guess the point there that you're making is that there's such a lot of stories everywhere in life, not just in our business, mm-hmm. but within our business, there's all these stories that we struggle to find a way to share beyond a meeting with a fixed number of people.
100%.
And then this could. Doing something like this could be our opportunity to spread those stories further.
100%. And I think that's where this all kind of came from, because you could be the best manager in the world, you could be the best communicator in the world, but you can never get across, you know, Nick's passion or, you know, Rob's kind of personal experience across to things. And then that's what kind of makes podcasts a little bit different, is you have that kind of dynamic and interpersonal, which just kind of resonates and have that kind of funnel down throughout the whole business. So to me, it all started out with that internal communications.
Yeah.
But going back to your bit of, you know, the whole marketing side of things, and actually we did an hour about whether this would go over to the customer side of things. And actually, it should do, really, because we're not talking about facts and figures and numbers. We're talking about people's stories. And we've got 184 years of people's stories, that we're actually not a faceless corporation. We're Haworth. We're a family business with family values. Yeah. And actually, we have people in the business that care about staff and customers. Yeah. So it's a natural, nice way. It's completely fluffy. I'm not going to say it's not. But yeah, I think it's the way forward. And the technical side of your question is, you just see it more and more. Like, you know, this is the way the world's going. There's more people wanting fast communication, you know, the busy people, especially in branches, and you need to grab them in like 8 seconds or something.
Did you ever think, as we've gone through this journey, because I remember perhaps over the last couple of years, there's once or twice I've when we've been just nattering without any great thought, we've just been chewing the cud and thinking about what we could do, I've said to you, I'd really love to do a podcast at some point. I was maybe talking about something that I'd listened to or heard, and I'd said to you, I'd really love to do a podcast, but we could never carry it off, and I don't think we've got anything to talk about. And then it was only that fate when the Yorkshire Podcast Studios, where we're recording today, happened to get in touch with you offering the services that, and you sent it, I remember you sending it to me, and the minute I saw it, I was like, oh, this is it, this is the...
my moment's come.
This is my moment. We started talking about it, and I've kept saying to you, I can't work out whether there's something in this or it's just a vanity project because I fancied doing it. I want you to be really honest, because you are nice people. Did you ever think at any point, well, what a stupid idea, this just isn't for us?
For me, no. I think one thing that we need more of is content. I think we've got these fantastic stories in the business. And there's one thing you've always said over the years is you can do the best marketing campaign, you can do the best promotion in the world, but if Billy Under the Counter don't believe in it and he put it out, it doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. And I think we've got these stories to tell, and you're naturally the host of our conferences. So you've got someone to believe in it, and that's 50% the way of doing anything. And I think you naturally will get people to come out of the shell on these podcasts. So for me, I complete faith in it.
Stephen? Same. You're normally very honest and very straight.
I mean, the same. I think there was a moment where we were talking and is it good, is it bad? And when we sat down, we came through here and 20 minutes, we'd got about 20 episodes lined up of things that actually, oh, that'd be brilliant. And, you know, I've been working here 8 years and, you know, talking to people, you know, who people don't normally see, and they've told us great stories in doing like the newsletter that we do, the network. You know, you've got stories that will never see the light of day, and you know, if you manage to get some of them out here, like I remember Steve Baxter and Wakey telling me about we'll have to vet some of the stories before, certainly you'll have to do that before, but like getting a forklift for Nick's car because of the flooding or something, like, you know, his new Jag or whatever it was. But yeah, it was, there's some amazing stories that you think, yeah, there's total need for it. And then, you know, the suppliers that we've got to talk to, we have like landscaping days, you know, there'll be new products that we can sort of promote or talk about on here, not necessarily promote, but just explain. And so there's lots of scope to sort of build, you know, a proper library of things. And one of the things I always think, I can remember when I first joined and they showed me that hardback book. We've got book, haven't we? I think it's available on Amazon for £20 or something, Howarth Timber Through the Years or something. And this is just a little bit of an extension of that. And it's a different way of communicating those stories to and, you know, maybe in 108 years time, people will be looking back on these and sort of, you know.
It was shambles.
But it's good.
Are you too clear exactly what we're trying to do here and who we're aiming at?
I think so. It's improving our internal communication in the business and getting our message and story across to our customers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're not trying, this isn't trying to sort of sell anything. It's an extension of the newsletter if people want to get snapshots. And I think in terms of communication, it like feeds into our sort of social strategy that we'll be able to put little snapshots of of these. Hopefully someone will say some interesting things. We might be picking the bones out of this one with me and Gav, but you know, we'll get loads of little stories that we can then pitch on reels. And obviously that 50% of the time spent on Instagram is on reels, and this is ideal for sort of creating that kind of stuff. So
I'm pleased you two are confident that you know where we're going with this, because I have to be honest, that's the one thing as we've gone through this, from first of all talking about it to now, really struggling to nail down exactly what I think we're trying to do with it. So I love a podcast. I like the idea of it. Always wanted to try it. Tick. I think we've got a lot to talk about as a business. I mean, if you add up our years of builders merchants experience, you said
eight.
You said
about 15.
15. Yeah. So that's 23. I know I don't look like it that I'm this old, but I am that old. I've done 38. You know, years in builders merchants. I started when I was 18, so that's 38 plus 23, what's that, 50? That's 61 years. So even between the three of us, we've got 61 years of builders merchants, you know, experience. So in terms of have we got things to talk about within the industry that are kind of pertinent and of interest? Well, yeah, I'd hope we would have. And if you think about some of the colleagues that we know in the business, you know, they've got more than, mm-hmm. you know, that we've got here. So within the business, there's all this experience, all these stories, and people love to hear the stories.
Be interesting as soon as it starts getting out there, and you'll know straight away, won't you? Because people, oh, I listened, or, you know, it was interesting, or it was rubbish. So as soon as, you know, we sort of out there in the world, you'll hear pretty quickly how it's gone. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure people will enjoy sort of tuning in.
An ex-colleague of my wife, he'd started a podcast, and on LinkedIn he wrote about his journey with it, and he talked about the false starts, the bad recordings, the bad editings, the dreading to hear his own voice on the on the thing. But in the end, him kind of coming to the conclusion, sometimes you've just got to start things, and be it a podcast or anything in life, sometimes you've just got to get the whole thing moving. And then my final little one of these examples, when he posted it, obviously people had commented on it, and somebody had left a comment for him, and I thought this was brilliant. I'm going to use it all the time now. You can't learn to drive in a parked car. And I think that sums it up. So whilst we might not know exactly where this is heading, is it internal? Is it external? We've good stuff to talk about, and there must be people out there who are going to be interested in it, and we'll just make it work as we move along. In terms of a builders merchants doing a podcast, has it got a place in our roughy, tufty industry?
Somebody's got to be interested in it out there. I think, like I said, it is a really fluffy kind of thing to do with podcasts. I had a quick nosy before I came in here, and something like 350 million active listeners to podcasts internationally, which I'm not saying we're going after that one. But I think if we just tell the story and we work on kind of internal communications, somebody out there externally might be interested, whether it is our suppliers or just our customers. But it's an interesting one.
Stephen, thoughts?
There is a place for it, I think, and that's one of the exciting things, is that we don't know of any others that are doing it as well. So it's quite nice to be on the forefront of doing it.
And this is living on the air.
Let's see if it goes. But yeah, I think there is a place for it. There's a place for any kind of communication with that. We've just had the engagement survey, and that was one of the people that people wanted enhancing, and couldn't work any better, could it? You know, we're working on that. We're doing a podcast. So I think there is a definite place for it.
Have you any hopes and dreams about how many people might watch or like and subscribe?
Gav's mum.
So we've got three families worth. If we get three families worth watching and liking and subscribing, it's a result.
We're doing well.
Excellent. That's good. Right. I want to talk now about our logo and our naming of the podcast, which is all your work as head of creative design and brand. Do you want to just talk through how you came up with?
Yeah, well, obviously we've been around 184 years. 1840 was when we started, and we use that for our 1840 trade and cash credit accounts.
Okay.
And it made sense to sort of team it up and have the same kind of feel, and that's what branding is just keeping everything consistent.
Why is that important?
It's the promise to your customers that they know who you are, what you're doing.
Okay.
We don't want people to see this podcast and wonder what, you know.
Whose is it?
Yeah, so it has to be. We wanted it to stand alone. You didn't want it to be just Howard Timber podcast, Howard Timber Building Supplies podcast. It wanted its own feel to run with, and it gives us freedom to go down any avenue we want with it, really. But yeah, give a nice bright and lively feel for hopefully a bright and lively podcast.
That, when we asked you to come up with a logo, as always, you came up with that really, really quickly. I'm always amazed at how quickly you can come up with ideas. So you're clearly very creative, and it's been part of your career all the way through. Can you teach creativity, or is it just a natural trait?
I think there's a bit of both, really. I think it's like anything. I think you can get better at, like, just thinking about, I talked about the conference in Harrogate where we had, I can't remember his name, who illustrated.
Graham,
that's it. Yeah, that's it. Teaching you how to illustrate to get across your ideas. So I think everyone can work and develop the creativity. But I guess, yeah, I mean, it's what I studied and developed, and you say come up with things quickly. I guess that's part of the experience of my career, is that you can do it, and as soon as you say stuff and as soon as you get on the same wavelength as the people that you're working with, that helps. That I know what you want, you know where I'm coming from stuff. So that's part of being in a marketing team as well, is that you sort of get on the same page. And yeah,
what do you think hampers creative thinking?
Wearing a tie is probably the first
really?
One. Yeah, you can't be creative in a tie. It just stops you.
Why is a tie such a problem?
It is for me anyway.
No, I think you're right. It's very generational, isn't it? So my generation, you were brought up with shirt and tie. Your generation, which is a couple down from me, is not to wear a tie. So it's definitely a thing. But why does it stop creativity?
I think it's an interesting question, really, because it's more, sometimes if you're too busy, that's when creativity goes out the window, because you end up just doing the routine. And it's quite interesting. Sometimes my best creative ideas are like when I'm sat on the tube or I'm on a train.
I'm going to say toilet then.
And your brain is just completely shut down. It's starting to think, because you're not thinking about the next job that you need to do. So to me, that's when you can be the most creative, is just taking some time out of your day to just be creative.
Is the builders merchant industry creative enough? I appreciate that's quite a broad brush question.
I think it is quite creative. I think it's probably not the most innovative technology-wise, but it's getting there. You know, Steve mentioned it earlier, we still use tally tickets and we still do things a bit old-fashioned, and, you know, we process money on a computer. That's probably as far as we kind of get. But it's massively developing, and there's lots of people in the industry, in both Fortis or NMBS or the BMF, that are pushing things forward.
Okay.
And I think we are really creative in how we do things.
Where would you like us to be with the podcast in 6 months' time? What would good look like?
I think we'd have had a variety of people on it. I think obviously we've got Nick, and he's lined up to come on here. But I think good looks like getting the other stories, like we've been talking about and touching on. So the people in the yard, the people, like, there's so many people who've been with us for like 40, 50 years, and they've got stories to tell. And obviously this, you know, that, I mean, this is alien to us sitting in here, but it's quite a nice thing to sort of get those stories and those people in front of the cameras and get shine a light on those kind of. So I think just having a variety of people from across the business to tell their side of the story.
Do you know what? Probably the best example of success would be if you go to a branch and somebody mugs you off about the podcast, because that means they watched it. And I always think that with pretty much with everything marketing, if somebody criticizes something, it means they've read it, or they've done something or interacted with it. And I think that's the key to it, is have a bit of banter, because that's the entire industry is all about camaraderie and taking the mickey. But hopefully that will encourage people, like Steve says, to tell the stories.
Have you any concerns that nobody's out there watching and listening to us?
Hopefully on this one, no. but yeah, I mean, they will do as soon as, like, you know, as soon as we start sharing the shorts on Facebook and stuff. I think that's another element of it. Like, you don't even almost have to listen to the full podcast, do you? So as soon as we start breaking this up, someone said a little snapshot. I mean, I see things on Instagram, on YouTube, and you feel like you've watched a full episode of something, but you haven't. You've got the key bits,
right, okay.
Three key elements, and then that's what you take away from it. And because of we know what our following is, people will see those because we'll put it in front of them. If they tune in and listen to the full thing, great. If not, not to worry, yeah.
Have you any concerns?
No, I kind of share Steve's views. I think we've got a lot of characters in the business, and I think people will tune in to see those characters. You know, whether it's, you know, Rob or if it's, you know, Paul Batten, those kind of people. Yeah. I think there's a lot of respect for those people, and I think it'd just be interesting.
That's the end of the podcast section of the podcast. I've got four quick fire questions for each of you here.
Okay.
There's one in the pre-talk.
I had to find something so that we weren't too structured with it. They're just, they're four things about you as people. And if they work, I'm going to keep it in with everybody that we, you know, that we talk to. So it's just...
We're just guinea pigs.
Yeah, you're just the guinea pigs. So if you can answer them, anybody can answer them. Right. Favourite part of your job? Quick fire.
Oh, yeah. So, creativity, coming up with something like creative, like you don't know what you're coming to work to see. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Gaff.
The same. If I get to design anything,
we can't just copy his answers to make it easy for you.
To be fair, if I get to design anything, that's a good day for me.
And that's a bad day for the company, Steve.
Yeah.
The most difficult part of your job?
Someone will always have a problem with something you do. You can't please everyone, basically.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. But you don't have to please everybody, do you?
No.
Particularly when it comes to things like design.
It's not just design. It's like any marketing initiative we come up with or whatever. I think it's always going to be a challenge to please everyone, and you've got to focus on the ones that you can.
How do you feel when somebody criticises one of the designs you've done?
They're probably right.
Well, with that in mind, when I was criticising this, I said, can we change it? All you'd said was no.
Yeah, you've got to be for the right reasons.
You don't mind other people criticising you, but...
No, you get... Yeah, basically.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Bugs. So if we launch something on the web or the app and something breaks, that's a stressful day.
That's very good. Thanks for not copying.
He's got time to think about it.
Gav,
yeah.
What's the most crucial trait somebody would need to do your job?
I think commercial knowledge and just awareness.
To expand on what you mean by commercial knowledge.
Just, it's more like, because we have budgets and we do stuff, it's easy to say yes to everybody in the business and make friends, but you need that kind of commercial awareness that actually... Is it the right thing for the job? Okay. Is it going to produce something that's going to return something or help someone? And we always say in marketing, you know, save time, make life easier, make more money for our customers. Yeah. And it's got to be about that rather than, you know, making friends with people.
That's good. So you're breaking the mould of the stereotype of a marketeer all being about colouring in and crayons.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well done. Good stuff. Steve?
I think being able to read between the lines as to what people want. Sometimes people...
Why are you looking at me?
Yeah.
I thought I've interrupted.
Yeah, no. People have got an idea and it's trying to see what they want without them knowing fully what they want. So you're trying to piece it together yourself. So that's a big skill to build.
Like it. Final one. And you can rest. Best piece of advice you've ever been given? It either could be work or it could be at home, something personal.
Do you know what? There's one, I can't remember where I got it from. I feel like it was Simon Sinek. And it's, people don't remember what you said or how you said it or when you said it. They just remember how it made them feel.
Okay.
And I think it's a really good one for me because I manage the customer service team and we get, you know, there's obviously people might complain about something. Or if we do anything marketing-wise, it's always that message of how does it come across? You know, you don't always follow a script. How is it going to make someone feel at the end? And it's a bit like Rob's story from earlier. I can't quite remember everything he said, but I remember how it made me feel when it ended.
Yeah, that's good. Good one. Yeah, I like that.
I think it came from you, this. I don't know. It's the rule of thirds. I was sits with me because of what we do, and it's quite relevant for this one because of podcasts. You know, you can't please everyone, so third are going to be positive about it, third are going to be neutral, indifferent, and then third are going to be negative. And you know, sometimes you only hear the negative ones, but if you focus on those positive ones, and, you know, like you said, someone will say something bad, why are they doing this, why are they doing... But you can't listen to that noise sometimes. Just focus on the good bits.
That's good. That was something that was shared to me by one of my old managers, Mark Collier, who's no longer with us, unfortunately, when I worked at Grafton. And he said, you can break any situation where people are involved into those thirds. And he said, the key always is when you're facing a big challenge around people in those groups, is all you've got to focus on, actually, is converting 51% of the middle group into what you're looking to do, because then you've got 51% of the total pot. Mm. I think it's a good piece of advice that was shared with me. So I'm pleased you continuing.
It's really relevant for this, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's great. Well, thank you for that. I hope it's not been too painful for you, was it?
Thank you for having us.
It's been horrendous. I've hated every minute of it.
I think you've spoken more today in this than you probably have to me in the last, you know, 2 years. So
maybe
you'll be coming back. So just to wrap this episode up, we're hoping to release an episode every couple of weeks, and we've got three more episodes ready to roll. We've got Nick Howarth joining us to talk about some of the news from the business, but perhaps more importantly, to talk about the history of Howarth Timber and his recollections of the business as he went through his life. So kind of what are his first recollections as a child of the business. We'll be talking to Paul Ferns and Jang Eunice from our Oldham branch. They're going to talk about the history of Oldham, their career journeys, and what makes a good branch. So our branches are absolutely pivotal to the whole of our business. So on a regular basis, we're going to pick a branch, put the spotlight on them in an episode, and bring a branch manager and one or two of their colleagues into talk about the branch. And then we've got an episode with Rob Bailey and Cameron Reed, who are long-term branch managers of ours, but have recently been promoted to regional managers. And we're going to talk about how they've managed that transition from a branch manager to a regional manager. And part of that conversation, we'll end up talking about insecurities and imposter syndrome, and about wondering why on earth am I here? This isn't for me, which is probably pertinent for the three of us, as you know, as we've been sat here today. So to close, I just want to say thank you. Well, thank you to you two for coming and joining. I think you've done really, 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 really well. I think it's gone better than we thought it would maybe go.
Let's watch your back first.
I've not been looking at the time, but I think we've maybe done more than 15 minutes. So you didn't set the bar very high, so that's good. As I said, we're going to try and release an episode every couple of weeks. When I was looking at some facts and figures about podcasts, it said Apple have got 470,000 active podcasts on their site, but 50% of them have got less than three episodes. So if we can know more than three episodes, we're in the top 50% of the podcast. So that's our aim. And it also says that if you can get 32 downloads in your first month, you'll be in the top 5% of podcasters. So there's our two aims. Thank you for listening and watching. I hope there's somebody out there to have listened and watched. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. I do feel a bit... There's definitely imposter syndrome when I say what I'm about to say, but my kid said I've got to say it. If you've enjoyed what you've seen, like and subscribe. And it'd be nice to find a like and a subscribe from beyond our three families. And if you want to follow us, you can find us on most of the socials, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. We've got our own website. And if you want to email into us with any comments or thoughts, you can do that on 1840pod@howarth-timber.co.uk. But we'll put all of those into the show notes. And that's it. I shall quit while we're ahead, draw this first episode to a close. Thank you both for coming. Thank you for watching. Yorkshire Podcast Studios, thank you for producing this. And one final big thank you is to Alex at Adept, who has been a great source of comfort and information for us along this journey. So cheers, Alex. Much appreciated. Thank you very much. 1, 2, 3.